Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. A lot going on this weekend. I am down in South Florida for the sinking of a new artificial reef that's being created in Pompano Beach. You'll hear all about it next week as we record the show and air the results next week on the big show. And, you know, you'll find a new place to dive, hopefully. But once again, that is next week. We've got to focus on the here and now. And so I have pulled out the big guns for this week and kick off the show with my good friend, Bob Evans from Force Fins. He is on Scuba Radio. Bob, how are you? It's been too long, my friend.
Greg, that is totally cool.
Yeah.
About the artificial reefs. You remember Bob and Bill Maestro. Actually, you met Bob Maestro from Dive and Surf. They introduced me to the first artificial reefs off Redondo Beach Submarine Canyon. And you
wow.
know what that was?
A submarine, I'm guessing?
No.
It wasn't.
Bowls.
Toilet bowls. Now, wait a minute.
Toilet bowls. Okay. One of their cousins was in the plumbing business, and they would tear
right.
out these toilet from these homes and put in new ones, and they thought, what can we do with this stuff? So they dumped a bunch of toilet bowls off Redondo Beach, and it was the hottest spot to get lobsters. We would drop down on the sandy bottom, and there'd be like 40 toilet bowls on the bottom of the ocean, artificial reef.
Hmm.
And that got me involvement in this exhibit that we're having at the Santa Barbara Maritime Museum, November 16th. Up for 6 months on documentation of artificial reefs being these oil platforms in the Santa Barbara Channel. And before I had Force Spin, I was diving in jet fins, and we were logged 850 scuba dives on and hookah dives on these offshore oil platforms. So it's going to appear to be...
This was back when? What year are we talking about?
1971, before you were born.
Oh, I don't know about that, but... It's back in the day, and yeah, before Bob started Force Fins with a little help from Bob Maestro and the Dive and Surf and Body
yeah.
Glove folks, you
yeah,
were a big-time
and
underwater photographer.
Yeah, Bev Morgan. I mean, the
yeah.
Maestros, Bob and Bill, if it hadn't been for those two brothers and the family, Force Fin would never have taken place. I mean, they invested, back in that time, I think it was close to $350,000. And we had a production plant. We were making over 400 pairs a day
wow.
in Hermosa Beach. Speaking of pairs, you know what? You've celebrated your surgery, and you're still alive, which
yes.
is great for the world.
Just celebrated one-year anniversary of my open-heart surgery there a couple weeks
yeah.
ago.
Yeah, and to make you look forward to the future and keeping everything alive, I want to offer all the Scuba Radio listeners a secret password that I only give to the Navy SEALs,
wow.
and I just closed my office door so my partner wouldn't hear me doing this, because if she did, she'd come in here and go, what are you doing?
Oh,
but
I thought she'd have to kill you kind of thing.
We can change the password if it gets out of control.
Okay.
But it's good for at least a week for your listeners who we love, and we're Force Fin fans made in America, and the password is Better Wet.
Better Wet. And all you have to
yep.
do is go to forcefin.com, and you can order
yeah.
any of the Force Fins that your heart desires, and you'll get, a little discount or bonus prize or what?
Yeah, you tell me you're from Scuba Radio, and I have some really cool Force Fin caps. I will add that in next year. So they're getting the U.S. military discount.
Oh, okay.
Special. Yeah, no, I don't give it out to anyone. This will be the first time ever that It's but you know what? You've done so much for all of us, Greg, and we want you around. So,
well, that's very nice.
I want to make a lot of money. This will help me make a lot of money, okay. So I can come. We can start diving again.
Well, there you go. that makes sense.
I need new equipment, everyone.
Yeah.
Buy some force spins so I can go diving with the Greg and Scuba Radio friends.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, Bob always surprises me with stuff like this. This wasn't planned. He does it totally off the cuff. God bless him for it.
Yeah, and they're what goes great, around comes fish. Around. We need to dive together. It's been too long.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about this exhibit you have coming up. Now, this is going to be at a museum in Santa Barbara where you guys are based out of. Right?
Correct.
And it's they're taking some of those photos that you were talking about of the oil rigs from back in the day before you even started Force Fins. And these were just underwater photos that you did as a hobbyist or, you know, underwater enthusiast type of guy. And you have this big library of these old film things that you've digitized or something or what's...
Well, not really. I looked as an industrialist, a business person. I looked at these platforms for beyond what they were being utilized at this time for, and that was oil and gas.
Yeah.
And structures like this are being put in the other parts of the world. Japan uses structures like this for sea farming in Japan, and they're not and no association with oil business. So a structure like this costs millions of dollars to install in the ocean, and we can reuse them for something beneficial. Remember, we were the first to harvest mussels off these offshore oil platforms, and all the documentation to that project with the United States government under a Kennedy Solstice grant, $22,000 with my good friend Dr. Frank Hester, who's passed away, and Andy McMullen and Rick Williams, we were able to overturn state laws and health department laws to harvest mussels for the first time commercially off these offshore oil platforms. So it's all those notes, the cameras that I designed. We designed our own time-lapse cameras with Willard Bascom and Jack Marnicich. We did amazing things. We documented all these sea farming projects the world has never seen. And most of the people that put on these projects that I was involved in are no longer here. And I'm the only one that has these pictures. That I can, you know, share with the world. It's going to be a very exciting evening.
Well, I bet. So these are actually scientific documents photo history.
Notebooks, everything. Every photo took, I documented where it was taken, the time of year. I was trained by the best, Noel Davis, George LaBelle, Dr. LaBelle, all from Scripps Institute. So I involved these guys in my projects, and when I was working with them, monkey see, monkey do.
Mm-hmm.
I watched, you know, they explained to me the different life. And my friend Shane Anderson from UCSB, I had a lot of people who were, and I was the only one at the time that was allowed to dive on all these oil platforms out here. We had a 3-year contract with ExxonMobil to document the life as it started growing on the platform itself.
Hmm.
So it was more than just going out there and take, I was always interested in, you know, we grew up with the Cousteau kind of, That was
mentality.
My generation.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That was our mentors in the diving world, was go out there and document stuff, share it with people.
Yeah.
And the exhibit's going to be traveling down to Long Beach Aquarium. It's going to travel to pretty much throughout the country because it's a very important topic right now. Should this life that started to live on these platforms, and we're talking to divers now, should it be removed? Should it be destroyed? And it's a community. They have now documented scientifically the life on the platforms is more diverse than anything around our Channel Islands. It's a vertical reef, basically.
Yeah.
Honda was in 850 feet of water, and we were hitting the 150-foot mark on the platform, you know, taking pictures. And we told them recently, some of the Exxon people, they said, we would never let anybody do that now.
Yeah. Well, I'm
knowing me, hey Greg, knowing me, can you believe it?
I can, because you know,
if they did a background check, they would have went, no way, let that guy get into that platform.
Okay, well, there's that. Yeah, just keep that on the down low. But you know, Bob has his fins in so many different areas. This is really a cool thing you got going. So hopefully, maybe that'll time out for the scuba show in Long Beach when we come out there maybe next year. You think?
You know, and the scuba, the California Diving News is going to cover this, and it's going to be up, the exhibit's going to be up for 6 months. So hopefully you can have a chance to come up to Santa Barbara and I can share it with you.
I like it. We got a plan on that, and I want to see that. And then maybe we can schedule a dive out there on the West Coast where you can take me to the toilet reef.
Yeah. Remember the last time I went diving out here? Forget it, Uncle. I'm in shorts, a T-shirt, and a pina colada after the dive.
And we're going to go dive the toilet bowl reef. I think that sounds like a great plan.
Sure, with an ROV.
Yeah, it's a little on the deep side, yes. Well, yeah, Bob Evans, a pleasure.
I have the pictures.
Okay, that's even better. All right, Bob Evans, forcefins.com. Better wet is the code you can use and save a few bucks and make it so you can go diving with me. We got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio scuba cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Saba St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know Dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hello, girls. You have the right station?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
He is a diver and a doctor, too. He's underwater in the ocean blue.
Yes, you did.
If he asks you for a sample of your pee,
you'll hit this back off.
Don't you know you'll be in surgery?
Whoa, stop.
They call him
Dr. Doug.
They call him Dr. Doug.
Call him Dr. Doug.
He's lubing up his stinking glove.
Call him Dr. Doug.
Hold on to your butt.
You know, I don't think you really need to. Dr. Doug is a, he's a heart surgeon, a cardiologist guy. He doesn't, you wear gloves, right, Dr. Doug?
Yeah, you're talking about CJ's song there with the gloves?
Yeah.
Don't do quite like he's suggesting.
Well,
yes,
yeah. Okay. Well, he needs to do that. But yeah, he's a heart specialist, and he deals with that part of the body, keeping people healthy, like me. You know, he was consulting me on my little incident I had a little over a year ago. I just had my one-year anniversary, and I'm still kicking. That's a good sign, right, Dr. Doug?
Oh, absolutely. So it's been a year since you've been and doing great. I was diving with you back a few months ago.
Yeah, that's right. Dr. Doug went on my first ocean dive after my open heart surgery. And, you know, and obviously he's with us now and I'm still good to go. So, but, you know, I don't want to leave our diving adventures to just special events like that. We need to just go out and enjoy the underwater world together again. You hear what I'm saying, Doug? It's been too long.
Absolutely. We need to get together and do some rebreather diving or something. I know you you know, you were certified on the Inspiration Evolution a few years back. And we need to get you back on a rebreather again.
Yes, we will make it happen. Now, yeah, you have been doing a lot of training in that, you know, realm, that technical realm right now. And so you do the KISS rebreathers. You just did, a big Trimix thing down there in Pompano. We're in the same general vicinity as Bugfest, but we didn't cross paths.
Right, or exactly. Dive just a little bit north of you.
Yeah. Well,
but, I had a gentleman who came down from Texas who was training on Trimix. He's got a big trip planned out to Truck Lagoon where he wants to dive some of the deeper wrecks. So that was his mission, was to get Trimix certified so he could get some long bottom times and some of the deeper wrecks out in Truck Lagoon.
Okay. So even if we were diving the same reefs, you would have been way under me. I wouldn't have seen you probably, right?
Yeah, for this course, this was our Normoxic course, so our maximum depth was about 200 feet. So, yeah, we probably would have been a little deeper than you.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, what's that down there? Is that just a shark or something, or one of them big Goliath groupers? I don't know. It's not making any bubbles. Can't be a diver. Well, yeah, maybe it was. It was one of those rebreather guys. So, I am certified in the Inspiration and Evolution. The KISS rebreather, like crossing over to that unit, would it be much of a stretch for someone like me? What do you think?
No, not at all. The with the crossovers, they're actually pretty easy. The physics is all the same. It's just that each unit has a little bit different bells and whistles into how you bail out from emergency situations or add gas and so forth. So most of it is a matter of a fewer dives. Still takes a few days just to kind of get used to the units and so forth. But no, we could easily do crossover and get you up to running on that in a hurry.
Yeah. Now, I have heard this many, many times before, but if you're listening to Scuba Radio for the first time and you're not a certified diver and you like the idea of having no bubbles and diving in a totally, you know, like space type environment, the rebreather way is the way to go. And it might be, I have had people tell me, like, before you get actually certified on open circuit, you might want to go for the rebreather thing. Is that true or is that just hogwash?
There's two schools of thought on that. Some people, if that's what they're going to do, you can actually, through IANTD, there actually is a initial certification just going straight to rebreathers.
Yeah.
Potential problem with that in my mind is if you have any kind of an issue on the rebreather, you're going to bail out to open circuit.
Yeah,
so it would be nice if that was something you were already comfortable in and not just kind of a bailout scenario. So if people at least have some experience in open circuit, it's probably a good idea to have that before doing rebreathers. Not to mention, you know, as you know, the rebreathers are a little bit more complicated and they're really more for the serious diver who's going to do a lot of diving. So if it's something you're really only going to do a couple of times a year or a few times a year, go diving, rebreathers probably are not in your best interest because it's just not quite as simple and fail-safe as just throwing a tank on your back and jumping in the water.
True. Not nearly as forgiving. That's why they call it flying a rebreather even more often sometimes than diving a rebreather, because you have like checklists like a pilot and all that kind of thing. And I went through pilot training. Are you a pilot too, Dr. Doug?
No, not... Not at all. I have I spent my 10 years in the military. I was perfectly happy to stay inside any perfectly good airplane they'd put me in.
Okay. All right. Well, you definitely have the discipline, obviously, doing all that rebreather stuff. You could probably pull it off and no problem. But, you know, when you're doing flight training, it's just drilled into your brain that you have to do these checklists because if you miss any particular item on the list, it could potentially, you know, lead to your demise.
And it's similar with the rebreather potentially as well.
Right. So, having that mentality and that commitment to learning the technology is extremely important. Now, as far as, if you're an open circuit diver, doesn't necessarily you're going to be a great rebreather diver right off the bat because of like the buoyancy issues. You with me on this?
Yeah. Right, absolutely. In fact, the people who have the most problem, in my experience, training on a rebreather from the buoyancy standpoint, are people who are the most experienced with open circuit, because they're so used to being able to adjust their buoyancy by their breathing. And that makes no difference whatsoever on a rebreather, because if you exhale out of your lungs, it goes into the counter lung, and if you inhale from the counter lung, it goes in your lungs. So there's no change in volume.
Yeah.
So those that people have a little bit of trouble with that occasionally. That usually only takes a few dives, and within the end of the course usually takes about 8 dives. So by the end of the 8th dive, people pretty well have it nailed by that point. It's not too much trouble.
Yeah, it kind of goes.
That's the main difference.
It kind of initially goes against what you were trained for all these years in your open circuit diving, and then when you get into here, you're like, whoa, wait a minute, hold on, I'm going up. I didn't want, well, you know, and it's, you kind of feel like a fish out of water there initially. But it just like anything, you just need a little practice with it, right?
Exactly. And the other thing that's different is people are so used to, if they're diving open circuit, every time they start to take a breath, they get a big blast of gas into their lungs. And on the rebreather, it's more like, you know, you and I are breathing right now. So it's very, just more of a natural breathing. But people can sense that as being, quote, difficult, unquote, to breathe, because they're not getting that blast of air like they're used to getting, you know, when they're scuba diving. This is more like just you and I talking and breathing. So they got to get used to that aspect a little bit as well.
Yeah, you kind of have to be at one with the rebreather and find your happy place. You know, because
exactly.
once you get to that zen place, and then you realize there's no bubbles, and you're just hearing your own breath, literally, and that's it. And it's not like that regulator sound kind of thing going on. It becomes pretty zen-like. Oh, magical. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And you can hear all the sounds on the reef and the parrotfish chewing on the coral and all kinds of sounds you didn't really know existed.
Yeah, all those noisy open circuit divers, for sure.
Yeah, Greg, in fact, if you've got a minute, I've got a story that illustrates that point for you.
Okay, well, that sounds good. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Dr. Doug, our diving cardiologist rebreather expert, next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I have Dr. Doug on with me. He's our rebreather guru. He also knows everything about the heart. God bless him for it, too. All right, so you have a story that illustrates what? Finding that zen moment when you're on a rebreather. Is that it, Dr. Doug, or what?
Yeah, basically what sold him, as a buddy of mine that's a professional photographer in the West Palm area, and I certified him on the rebreather probably 10 years ago or so. And he told me this story that the first time he was diving on his own after being certified, he dropped into one of the series of wrecks along West Palm and drifted into the first wreck, and it was covered in Goliath grouper, lemon sharks, some reef sharks, and he was snapping pictures and having a great time and just kind of in the moment. And he said he heard the thundering herd of the open circuit divers drifting in with the dive master.
Yeah.
So when he heard them, he basically just kind of swam about 50 or 70 feet off the wreck into the sand to let them come by. As the divers, open circuit divers, came up, all of the animals on the wreck left. They all swam away.
Wow.
So then the divers came in, they're swimming on the wreck and so forth, and they drifted farther north. And he said within about 2 or 3 minutes of everybody leaving the wreck, all of the Goliath grouper and the sharks all came back. And then he went back over to the wreck and started taking pictures. So, you know, if you interviewed those guys on the boat when they came up, they say, oh, yeah, we had a great dive of the wrecks, but it really wasn't anything to see. Whereas he basically had a fantastic dive with 2 or 3 different species of sharks and turtles and Goliath grouper and so forth, all because he had no bubbles whatsoever.
Interesting. Well, you know,
yeah, so
he
told me at that point he doesn't dive open circuit anymore.
All right, I got this image of like the open circuit divers coming in like the running of the bulls.
Right, exactly. And about that noisy.
Wow, that's pretty cool. But it is. It's amazing how you really get into the silent world when you're on a rebreather. It's truly a great experience. If you have the commitment and you want to go for it, I say go for it with open eyes and just know you got to know your stuff. But it can be very, very rewarding. Well, great stuff. I appreciate it, Dr. Doug. I'll let you get back to your work, and I mean that in the diving sense. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
All right, we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Instead of letting live sharks rain down on people,
shark!
We're going to get in that chopper,
shark!
And throw bombs into the tornadoes,
shark!
Blasting those bastards to bits.
Shark!
There are sharks flooding the streets.
Go, 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 go. We're all going to die in a sharknado, sharknado.
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 It wasn't a sharknado. It was just one of those afternoon Florida thunderstorms, I think. I am Greg the Dive Master. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I have not seen Sharknado 5, Global Swarming, Make America Bait Again, but it is on my DVR list. So once I decide, you know, I got an hour and a half to waste, I'll do this so you don't have to. Okay. All right. That brings me to my next guest, Captain Slate from Key Largo. How are you, buddy?
Hey, hanging in there, having fun, and weather's been fine. What can I tell you?
Well, you know, I got to call you because I want to, well, I wanted to get you before I need to, you know, bail you out. Because I hear you've become a, you know, a voyeur down there in Key Largo. I see the stuff on Facebook. I'm worried about you a bit there, Captain Slate.
We're going to even play Barry White theme song tonight just to get the Carls in their mood to go out and have fun. And we're going to go see a lustrous Carlos Blum tonight, and it's a voyeurism at its best.
Okay. So, by the way, this coral spawn event, like, happens once a year in the summer, is that right, or a couple times, or what do we know?
You can have a split spawn, and Elena Zamont, my hero, and she's the first marine biologist teaching up at Rosensteel. She's actually from my hometown in North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
But she predicted the spawn back in, I think, 92, and we started diving it then. And to be able to predict something to happen in nature is pretty marvelous there.
Yeah.
I give her a kudo for having more than one brain cell on that one.
Hmm. So she's like a sex coral expert?
Exactly. She was watching them in her lab for a couple of years up there and noticed that they spawned.
Yeah.
And around the eighth day after the full moon in August. And sometimes when you have two full moons in the same month, which we do, you're going to have a split spawn, and we may have another spawn on the 10th and 11th of September.
Okay. So, but you got to kind of wait and see what the weather does or how the first one goes, and then you determine whether they're going to split or what?
Yes and no. If we have a big spawn tonight, and we've been out last night, we went out and didn't see much, and tonight is the real scheduled night, so maybe we'll have it done, and we'll enjoy a snowstorm of lust in the currents. You never know.
All right, so what you go out about what time? Like just after dusk, or do you go late at night, or what?
She accurately predicts, and we go out and get in the water at 10:30, but it usually is 11 to 12. I've had it happen to 11:01, 12, or 11:20, or, you know, in that area of the hour and a half, and we don't know exactly why, except that we know they spawn at night for safety because, I mean, the fish just have a field day eating the little spawn eggs and little fat-filled eggs, and just easy fodder in daylight hours. So at night, it's fewer predators.
Okay.
So that's why we figure that.
Is there any, you know, trigger or foreplay that you witness before, you know, before they go? Okay, what happens? What do they do? What do the coral do?
They each, and again, we're looking at the boulder corals, the brain, the star corals, and you get a light on them, and you will actually see a little tiny, tiny, two of them on a pencil eraser, pink egg coming through the polyp, sitting in the middle of the furry polyp. Of course, the coral feeds at night. The polyps are out.
Yeah.
And you see literally those eggs starting to expand and push up. And at one exact moment, the entire head of coral will spawn thousands of eggs.
Hmm.
And, of course, it just is synchronous spawning. I don't know if I pronounced that right.
That's good enough for me.
Yeah. More than the two-syllable word, so I have a little problem being a dive boat captain.
Yeah, it's all right. But you go down there with a bunch of divers that have, you know, have the time to go down and witness this themselves. And I know Fraser Nivens, your buddy, is down there filming. Is he filming something specific or just documenting history as usual?
As usual. He sets up, like we did last night and the night before, a actual tripod with his camera on it, and he focuses on a likely head of coral that was spawned. And he just runs the whole time, and then he's swimming around with his other camera.
Yeah.
So he makes sure if it's another coral head nearby, he gets it.
Okay. So the idea is just to go down there and witness this unique, you know, wilderness or marine marvel. You know, it's like an underwater eclipse kind of thing. It happens so rarely, and to witness it firsthand kind of makes you feel special as a diver, I assume, right?
Yeah, it does. And to take the patience and time to just sit there literally for an hour and watch a coral head and then see it just explode, erupt with thousands of little eggs floating to the surface, it's like an upside-down snowstorm.
Yeah.
And it's pretty unique. And, of course, once it happens and you see it, you think, oh, that was worth the wait.
Yeah. Do you have a couple, you know, divers that go down and kind of use it as some kind of, aphrodisiac or like date night kind of experience?
Yeah. Yeah, we're trying to get the Victoria's Secret girls out of Miami Divers tonight on the boat. They said they wanted to come down.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll be interesting. Well, I mean, what was their initial reaction? Like, oh yeah, we're in. Or like, you want us to do what?
I told them I wanted to witness underwater sex, and they said, "Hey, we'll be there."
Oh, okay, all right. And then when they see this, you think it's going to be a little letdown? I don't know.
Yeah. He's like, on a personal basis, maybe.
Yeah, well, who knows. But, yeah, that is pretty cool. I mean, the coral spawning, I have yet to do it. I've seen the videos. I've seen some of Fraser's stuff that he's gotten, which is remarkable. And you can follow Captain Slate on Facebook or look him up on Google and go to his website and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Go down there and dive with him. But I just haven't been able to time it right. But one of these days I'll make that happen. I'll have to settle for the video. You're selling for what, $9.95, like a monthly subscription, right? Coral Sex.
That's it.
CoralSex.com.
Coral Sex video.
Yeah.
And you can go online and do it.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Don't even have to have a triple X rating.
True. All right. And what else you been seeing lately? Have you had any sharks or anything that kind of swing by your creature features and stuff lately? Or what's going on down there?
Oh, yeah. Well, we do the nurse shark feed after the creature feature on another reef. And they're like 7 to 10 nurse sharks, and they're very friendly. And we just get in and pet them and have fun with them. In fact, I just posted a picture from this Sunday that we did up there.
Yeah.
Where it's so clear that a friend of mine is holding his GoPro on the surface, and you can see all the sharks on the bottom.
Nice.
20 feet.
Oh, you got to love that for sure.
Yep.
Now, what about bug season? I mean, I was up in Fort Lauderdale for mini season and had a great time. How did the mini season go down there in your neck of the woods?
We did all right. We had one or two guys limit out, but that was it.
Yeah.
And they're out there today. We got a group of lobster grabbers, and they're trying to catch them.
Yeah.
So we hope they are. Captain Sky's running the ship today and taking care of business and
Stepping
in the office on the phone.
Okay. Well, yeah, you're locked in. You're a land lover today. How rare? That's pretty rare for you, isn't it?
Yeah, but only till tonight. She didn't want to stay out till 1 o'clock in the morning with a night dive, so I said I'd take it.
Ah, she's not into the whole coral sex thing. Or
I guess not.
You're shielding her away from that? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm keeping her away from all of that kind of thing.
You don't want to give her any ideas. I'm hip.
Well,
what about other kind of critters? Have you had any kind of like unique things like whale sharks or anything like that cruise through the Keys lately? You know, every once in a while we get these reports of mantas.
And
of what? What'd you see? A whale shark?
Three Mondays ago, we had a baby whale shark swim up on the Grove and Sky, and of course all of us were diving, and Fraser got it on video, and it was about a 15 footer. I was on the boat, everybody was down, and I see this guy fishing on the, just down from me on the buoy, and I see this giant tail out of the water.
Yeah.
And I holler over and go, well, what's that? He goes, it's a whale shark. I said, get out of town.
How about
it was up nudging on his boat, I guess trying to get a treat. And then all the divers got to film him on the bottom, on the wreck of the Eagle. It was on the Eagle.
Very nice. So, I mean, he was just there feeding on some of the fish scraps from the fishermen? Is that what you're saying, that tracked him,
that,
brought him in?
Yeah. We've mostly seen them, which is rare,
yeah,
on the wrecks. We've seen them on the Duane and on the Spiegel Grove and then on the Eagle the other day.
Huh. All right. Well, that I bet those people were pretty ecstatic. I mean, I'm sure, as always, you have that one diver who it's like their first dive, and they have a whale shark experience, and then it just pisses off all the other people who've been diving for years and never seen such a thing, right? Did you have
one
of those?
Exactly. I mean, decades people have never seen them, and, and all of a sudden, there it is.
Yeah, and the guy's like, oh, well, that was all right. Yeah, but it happens. You know, but that's the cool thing about going down to the dive in the Keys. You never know what you're going to see. And
absolutely.
You know you're going to see some cool stuff when you're diving with Captain Slade on the Creature Feature, but there's that element of surprise. Whale shark cruises through, manta, great white, who knows? Anything
that's
could
right.
happen. Slate, always a pleasure, my friend, and we will catch up with you again real soon, okay?
We will see you in the Keys.
Yeah, enjoy your underwater coral sex tonight.
I'll give you a full report.
Yeah, I want the video link. Boy, I feel dirty.
Sure. Scuba
Radio. Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio scuba cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Looking for more than just great diving on your next adventure? Consider Curacao. Easy to get to and easy to enjoy. Curacao feels like a little piece of Europe on the edge of the Caribbean. The iconic World Heritage Site of Willemstad, Dutch culture and nightlife will satisfy even the most demanding landlubber and allow you to make the most of your surface interval. Check out Curacao.com for more info. That's C-U-R-A-C-A-O.com. Curacao, where it's summer year-round and you always feel at home.
Surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
A rocky top, you always be. Home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top. Rocky Top, Tennessee. Rocky Top, Tennessee.
Hey, this is Jerry the Diver Guy coming at you live from the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, and you're listening to Scuba Radio. Oh, look, it's Dolly Parton. No, that's just Greg the Dive Master.
Rocky Top, Tennessee. Rocky Top.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. That was Jerry the Diver Guy, and he's on the phone with me right now. I don't know if he's at Dollywood with Dolly right now, but I know he's been doing some dive training. Jerry, how are you? What's going on?
What's going on?
Well, you know, we're just doing our thing, buddy. What are you up to?
Hey, I'm getting ready to get in the water.
You are? Your latest dive students or what?
Yeah, we got to do a night dive. I just got out of the water for this morning.
Yeah.
Open water time this morning. Now we got to do advanced class.
All right, but you're doing it up there in the mountains of Virginia. You're not down there with Captain Slate watching the coral sex thing, right?
No, they're too creepy down there. They're doing that coral sex. They're being voyeurisms or something.
Yeah. Well, don't lie. You're into that. I know you.
Well, you know, as long as we don't take pictures, it'd be all right, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know. I think you should take pictures. I mean, that's what what he does, you know, him and Frazier. You know, you saw that video on Facebook from Frazier.
Oh, yeah, Frazier was filming it live, I reckon.
Yeah. He went Facebook Live with the coral spawn, and it was weird hearing him talk about, hey, we're getting ready to go watch the coral have sex. Boom, chicka-bow-wow, chicka-bow-wow.
And I don't know who was getting a freak on, but one of them was.
Yeah. I don't know. Would that be like a date night for you and the missus, you think? Like, hey, we're going to go watch the coral spawn. What do you think?
Well, you know, it could work.
Mm-hmm. It could.
But you know, I'm here in the mountains, and I don't get to watch the coral spawn.
Yeah. Well, so what did you guys do on your night dive? I mean, was it on a lake or what?
We're going to the quarry.
The quarry.
Going to the rock. Quarry, yeah. Whichever one you want to call it.
Isn't that like
City
doing
it? Different.
When you go to the quarry, I don't know, whichever way you want to say it, with Jerry, who knows? When you dive a site like that, isn't it like doing a night dive in the middle of the day? Because it's pretty dark in those things, a lot of them,
well,
isn't it?
This one is actually pretty clear.
Yeah.
And it's like 80-some degrees right now in it, so it's a pretty nice quarry.
Really? Even at the bottom?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yeah, no, well, it may drop down to about 77, 76, somewhere through there on the main bottom. But
okay.
It is actually a very, very nice one. Now, I've been in some cold ones.
Yeah.
You get on the bottom and it drops down to 60s.
Yeah, but, so where do you hit the thermocline at? Where that?
There's no thermocline.
It just gradually goes down?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. And so what do you have in your quarry as far as to look around and see things? What's down in there?
Well, the biggest thing that everybody goes down and gets pictures of is a fire truck.
Ah, okay. That's interesting. So you get
and
in
I
there.
I think there's a couple other little things on the other side, which I very rarely venture over that way. But
yeah. So is that usually part of the routine? You got to go down. We're going to go hang at the fire truck, get on the top of it, get your picture taken, that kind of thing. That's generally what the divers do.
That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah. As far as the night dive training, I mean, what did you teach them, or did you set up a plan, or, I mean, how do you instruct them to do their night dive?
Well, usually I don't do no plan until we get there, but, you know, we usually strap on a little strobe light or one of those glow sticks or something, and then, you know, we'll either have a light or something, some kind of ambient source of light on shore where we can go by, and then make sure they got their primary and a backup light.
Yeah.
And then go over all the other stuff, and then we hit the water.
Well, see, you know, I kind of have this picture of like a foreboding dark place because, you know, most of the well, they're not quarries, but springs that we'd have here in Florida usually have some big tree overgrowth, and they're kind of creepy looking during the day. I can only imagine at night, but this is more of an open kind of pit place, I would have imagined.
Yeah, it's an open pit.
Okay.
The only thing you have to worry about is the geese.
The geese?
Yep.
The diver-eating geese, that's what you have in the mountains of Virginia? Really?
The Canadian honkers won't leave.
Really?
They like it here so much.
Okay, so they come up and they try to bite you, or what do they do?
They'll come towards you,
yeah.
But, you know, if you start getting around the little ones, you'll know about it.
Okay, so they'll attack. You want to put on your mask before you approach the geese. Okay, that's interesting.
The little ones are goslings, I think.
Okay, we'll go with that. So at this quarry, so it doesn't look creepy at all at night? or
oh,
does
no. No, it's actually pretty nice.
Huh.
You would love it.
I would. Well, no, I kind of like that element of creepiness on a night dive. You know, if it was me, I would tell like a little ghost story. Like, yeah, we got this fire truck, you know, on the bottom of the quarry. And, you know, if you go in there and you ring the bell on the thing, that's when the spirits arise. You don't try to embellish the story a little bit just to get them going?
Well, you'll have to come and take my night diver class and find out.
Well, okay, I guess I'll have to do that. All right, that sounds good. But so how many students you have? What are you doing?
I've just got this one. It's actually an advanced carryover, the one we were supposed to do in a couple of weeks ago that canceled on me. So.
All right. Well, that sounds like a pretty good adventure. And then, I don't know, I'm going back down to South Florida to watch them sink a wreck that we can dive here in a few weeks. You ready to come back down to Florida and do some diving with me?
I'm ready. I'm ready now if I didn't have class.
Well, it'll be the world's first underwater dive bar, literally.
It sucks to be you.
Well, yeah. But look, it's Jerry the Diver Guy. Who doesn't want to be him? This guy's living the dream, diving in quarries with man-eating geese. God bless him. All right, hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving is on deck. We're going to check in with many, many folks. So stick around. We're just getting started.
You know how to whale here. That's why it's hot. I'm not the one. I'm yummy.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.